my heart. His testimony touched on what I want to preach about tonight, and that is communication. That is expressing the very thing in our heart. That is, could be, it hits on a number of areas. I wish, you know, it could almost be a series because there's so many aspects to it. Be not weary in well-doing. Divide not among the brethren. Don't be backbiting and so forth. We hear a lot about those negative things, but you know there's such a positive thing too. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Logos. In the King James, it says the Word. That word Logos, the Greek word Logos, means expression. And in the expression is involved the will of the expressor. It's an action. It's a verb. In the Spanish, it's in principio el verbo, the verb. In the beginning was the verb, the action. An action, something that is happening by one that is causing it to happen. And it says also in John chapter 1 that that Logos, that expression, became flesh. It also says in John chapter 1 that those that received that expression that became flesh, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and accepted Him, those that received that expression, it says in John chapter 1, to them gave God the power. And the Greek for power is authority to become the sons of God. In the very beginning, it also says in Genesis, in the beginning, God. And then it goes through the creation. John chapter 1 ties to that, as you've heard preached here before. It involves expression, brethren. It involves the expression of the heart of God. It involves the expression of the will of God. It involves the expression of the mind of God for us. This whole creation does. The sunshine that you see is a type of God. The flowers can't bloom. The grass can't grow. The animals can't live if there's not sunshine. It's a very type of life itself. It's a very type of light. Jesus said He's the light that comes into the world. You can take that one thing, the sunshine, that so many people are worshiping vainly, as one lady expressed tonight in her testimony, and yet they'll never know the true source of life. And yet you can take that one thing and you can find 1,000 types of God. You can find 1,000 types of Jesus Christ. You can find 1,000 types of your very life in that sun. It's an expression of God. Romans chapter 1 talks about the whole creation expressing the glory of God. So much so that even the heathen, in which God has put a conscience inside that man, because there's laws in a society and the creation around him testifies that there is a creator. It testifies to them, even to the heathen. And the sermon that I have tonight is involving communication, expression, logos, expression, communication to glory. You know, some of us, and it's easy to do around here, some of us get to be kind of like the Ephesian church spoken of in Revelation. We are so busy about so many things that we almost lose sight of the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are so busy about so many things and we become so weary in the flesh, both due to working and striving to do for the Lord, and also sometimes striving in the flesh, and also not taking care of ourselves as we should, spiritually and emotionally and physically, that we lose sight of the vision that we are God's, that as John 1 says, those that receive that expression of God, Jesus Christ, expressed God, who has spoken to us in these last days in His Son, we have the authority, the power to become sons of God. We lose sight of that. We lose sight of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17, you can go ahead and turn there. This will be the text for the sermon tonight. In John chapter 17, verse 1, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Revelations chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman. And we've heard this preached, so I'm not going to go into the explanation of too many of these things, other than the fact that, again, to remind you that the woman is the church. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, before the church, the Antichrist system, the Antichrist himself, the devil himself, stood before the church as a roaring lion that's driven out of the jungles of Jordan during the time of flood, going up on the land, not only seeking the lambs, but seeking to devour the very children of God. The middle of verse 4, and the dragon stood before that woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God into his throne before the dragon could devour the child. His teeth clicked, but that's all they did. There was nothing there for him to grab a hold of. God had snatched that one out. Now, the correlation between John chapter 17, verse 1, and Revelation chapter 12, verse 4 here, Jesus is praying, and he said, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify thee. And he was glorified not long after that. God took him into heaven. He ascended. He died. And he resurrected. And there was victory over death. And because he lives, we live also, the scripture says. But that was just a foreshadow. He is the first fruit of the resurrection, the scripture says also. We are the dead in Christ shall rise, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up. They shall be changed and caught up in a twinkling of eye. So shall they ever be with the Lord. He is saying, Lord, Father, glorify your Son. The hour has come. In John chapter 17, I'm going to read you a verse in a minute. He prayed that we would be glorified. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, we see, in verse 5, we see the fulfillment of Christ's prayer. We see the body of Christ, the Son of God, John chapter 1, those that he gave authority to become sons of God, those who received Jesus Christ, we see them glorified. We see that man-child glorified. We see that offering taken up unto heaven, God accepting it as a righteous offering, as a good offering because of his Son, Christ, because of the robe of righteousness of his Son that we have accepted and have stayed inside of that robe. We've walked in the Spirit. We see the fulfillment of that. But there is a need between the time that Christ prayed or the time that we become aware of the fact that we are sons of God and up to the time of this point in Revelation chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, when we are truly glorified. And let me tell you something. You ever stop to consider what the world's going to be like when thousands upon thousands and thousands and thousands go out? There's going to be absolute chaos. I'll guarantee you, God will be glorified. You will be glorified. Those that mock that you testify to, they won't be able to mock anymore. You won't be around to mock. You will be glorified. You'll be vindicated. Everything that you suffer now, you'll be vindicated. God is the one that gives the balance, the one of justice. And a little sidetrack, but we don't need to worry about those things. I appreciated Bill's testimony tonight. He talked about some of those vile things that are causing us to become gems in the sight of God that he beholds in people that he works with. But you know what? A lot of people that are saints of God allow those things to get them down. And yet, if we would obey the very principle of communication, the very principle in which God expressed himself and gave his only begotten Son, if we would just communicate to God and say, Lord, when you hear something, sworn, for example, and swearing bothers you, Lord, touch that one, change him. But Lord, more than that, I thank God that you've changed my heart from that. From out of the abundance of mouth speak, no longer do I speak cursings. No longer is my heart in abundance of cursing. Lord, I thank you for that change in my life. And as you see people cheating at work and stealing from their boss, Lord, I'm glad that you've caused me to understand the principles that those that are the sons of God should maintain their testimony in Christ, and those that should work should eat. Praise God, I can collect my paycheck, and I thank you, Lord, that you've changed my heart in that, and I don't have to feel backwards about taking my check. Thank you, Lord, for changing my heart. There needs to be a communication. Everything that we run into, you know, these things that get us down, that we see, as Bill was testifying about, every one of those things you can use as a communication to glory for yourself, that you might become that perfected gem. You can thank God for every one of those things in detail, that God has changed your heart from it. Just by the very fact that you're grieved by it shows that you're a new creation in God. But we forget that sometimes. We forget what God has done in us. We forget what God has done for us. Oh, we know that He saved us. We know we're going to go to heaven someday, and most of that's nebulous thing. We have no concept of what it is. But we can use everything that comes against us and say, Lord, I thank Thee always that You hear me, just as Christ did. I thank You that You've changed my heart from that. And you know, if you will take advantage, those things that get you down, if you will turn them, if you will just turn them in your heart, if your attitude is reflecting that expression of God, you know what's going to happen? You're going to truly fulfill the book of Acts when the Bible, God's Word, His written expression, the Christ was His living expression, this is His written expression, but this written expression says that we are God's Christ in the last day. That body of Christ, Christ being the head, is to reflect that light. And if we will take advantage of many of those things in the world that get us down, especially of those things that are the nature of sin that we see about us, and begin to express, communicate to God the thankfulness, Lord, that You have changed my heart in that, do you know You're going to begin to grow in glory? Do you know You're going to fulfill acts? Because you're going to begin to look like a neon light. You're going to begin to reflect something that's different than the flesh that is reflected when you allow those things to get you down. When you allow those things to get you down, you know what is happening is you're allowing the devil, in a sense, to come and pull. The light is there. Every man that is a son of God has that light in him. But you're letting the devil pull the shade down. And people outside can't see that there's a light in there. And so what they see is they see a little bit of the meat, or the, if you want to call it, the dust that Satan eats, reflected in the fact that he's gotten you down. In other words, flesh is showing instead of glorification. But God has given us authority. God says, He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. If we will take advantage of these things, and instead of letting them get us down, take that man's cursing and say, God, as I just said a minute ago, thank You for changing my heart. My heart, the abundance of it is to praise You and to thank You rather than what it used to be like that man's is. God, work on him and change him like You've done me. And you are going to become a glorification. You're going to begin to reflect the light of God in you. You're going to become an overcomer all of a sudden. And that's another aspect of this communication. We oftentimes get delivered. Sometimes going up for prayer, we get delivered. Oftentimes, we come to grips with ourselves and recognize that in areas we haven't been willing, we finally say, yes, Lord, and we become willing. And that's all well and good, and we get deliverance. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, as we hear testified all the time. But all too often, people lose that deliverance, though. And you know, that's not God's fault. Again, that oftentimes is either our fault or the devil's fault, or as they say, sometimes it takes two to tango, if you know what I'm saying. In other words, sometimes instead of hanging on to that glory of God and expressing it, confessing it both to the Lord and confessing it to our brethren, we open again an avenue in which Satan is able to pull that shade down and hide that light. But you know, as we are delivered from things, if we would just begin to express them to the Lord, express our thankfulness to the Lord, begin to express to each other, to one another, communicate with one another our thankfulness and what God has done specifically for us, there are a number of things that begin to happen in your heart. Number one, your own confession begins to build faith in God. And as that faith in God is built, as you are increasing your confession, you are glorifying God, but the Son of God is beginning to be glorified in you. All of a sudden, you're becoming a Christian that is walking in the Spirit. All of a sudden, you are communicating glory. All of a sudden, you're being lifted above yourself. All of a sudden, you are walking in the Spirit. But you know, we have to begin to express these things. The point of my message tonight is really simple, and I'm going to give a couple of more areas in which we can communicate. But I feel that in this body, we really desire oneness. I know that we do. And it's been prophesied that we're going to have it. But I feel that there has been a large, large area neglected within this body, and that is in communication. Not just to the Lord. Now, I'm not, don't get ahead of me, please. Because I think it's a little bit different than what you're thinking. We pray a lot. in this body. And I'm not talking basically about our prayer, which is also communication with the Lord. I'm talking about taking time to communicate with one another, taking time to communicate in the family, taking time to communicate father to son and son to father, taking time to communicate between husband and wife, taking time to communicate between roommates, and beginning to express what God is doing in our heart, beginning to express what you are noticing as you are working with people in the world, how the things that you see that God has changed you from, beginning to express a thankfulness for that, beginning to express a love for one another. A while back, just to give you a little testimony of my own life, and then I'm going to give you a testimony about Peter, the apostle, to bring the point home. A while back, I had a business dealing with a brother in the church here, and it went on for a couple months, and it was a little bit frustrating. And one reason is because we were going through between a third person. We weren't always dealing face-to-face, and so there was some misunderstanding because of that. And another reason was is we had never really gotten down and laid out the terms of our contract and all the other things that are involved with it. And so there was frustration and on both parts. And in a minor way, you might say that the house of God was divided at that time. Now, we weren't worrying or anything like that, and it hadn't entered in our minds and our hearts. But there was still a situation that needed expression. It needed communication. Well, one night, that brother and I got together, and we came to a firm contract, and everything was settled, and we expressed how each other felt about certain things in the situation that was involved. And you know, from that time on, I had an appreciation for that brother that I did not have before. And the reason for that is because our hearts began to be expressed, and as we were expressing not only our business, we were also seeing in a trying circumstance the way God had changed each one of us and the thankfulness that we had, and I could see God being reflected. I could see Christ being reflected in the patience of that brother and in the wisdom that he was showing. I could see that Christ was being reflected in my attitude, and I didn't want to have any problems at all, that I wanted the situation to be a smooth situation. And all of a sudden I began to realize that in my old life, I would not have acted that way. And I went away appreciating that brother. I went away feeling stronger in the Lord. I went away appreciating what God had done in my life, all because the brother and I took time to communicate something. To communicate something. And that expression of heart, this expression of heart, if we would just, now summer's here, you know. In the school year, I realize it's a little bit tougher. And some people get really nervous because they feel like they have so many assignments and different things to do. But, you know, there is a time now that we have to get the battery charged up, so to speak, many of us. And not just college students, but many people that don't go to college have abundant ministries in the winter also. We need to take time as you're talking on the phone and exchanging different businesses to also express what God is doing in your heart. Begin to express an appreciation for each other. And begin to express an appreciation for what God is doing in your husband, what God is doing in your children in Christian school. And you know what? We're going to begin to have a oneness in our heart like we never realized possible. We're also going to see something else. You're going to begin to see a change as we communicate with each other more what God is doing and the love that we have for one another and the love that God has put in our heart for each other. We're going to begin to see not only individually more people glowing or reflecting the glory of God, but we're going to begin to see the body overall. And it's going to affect music ministry, it's going to affect the testimonies, it's going to affect the prayer meetings, it's going to affect every area of the life of this particular assembly. Let's go down a little bit further here in John chapter 17, verse 1. Now Jesus said, "The hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify thee." Now God hasn't left us powerless to glorify him either. As you as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So Christ said that God had given him power. In Matthew chapter 28, though, it's interesting. Jesus said to his disciples that all power under heaven and earth had been given unto him. Go you therefore. He says the power has been given to me, and based upon that, you go out and preach. He goes on, verse 3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 6 is the key. I have manifested thy name. I have communicated thy name. I have expressed thy name. They went away saying, after Jesus healed the blind, we've never seen it so in Israel, that one born blind should be made to see. I have manifested thy name. His disciples looked upon one that was crippled, and they said, Lord, was it his sin or his parents' sin that he was born this way? And Jesus said, neither, but that the glory of God might be manifested. Rise up and walk. Another time they said, he forgave a man's sin. And the Pharisees said, he blasphemes. Who can forgive sin but God only? He turned around and told them, he said, to prove to you that the Son of Man has the power and the authority to forgive sin, rise up and walk. And the man got up and walked. He was the son of Israel. He was made whole. All of a sudden, he began to run the race. God has given Christ power. Christ has given us that authority in John chapter 1. Those that have received him have the authority to become sons of God. We have the authority, the power. If you are a spirit-filled Christian, you have that dormant lying within you to be able to begin to communicate the name of God, as verse 6 here shows that Christ has. He manifested God's name unto the men of the world, to those, or those that God had given him out of the world. We, and this is the heart of my message tonight, as I was just saying, we have the need to begin to communicate God's name, God's will, God's power, God's testimony in our lives to our brethren. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. And as I said, Revelation chapter 12, we will have that fulfilled in our own very life. Now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy logos, thy expression is truth. Thy expression, thy word is truth. And again, and this is referring to God's spoken word. But again, in our communication to one another, it will build an edification, it will build a unity, it will build a strength in the body, and it will build a glorification in you individually and in the one that you are expressing to. Because again, you are a new creature, a new creation, as it were, in Christ Jesus. All things are become new. And if we will express those things that God is doing in us and God is doing for us, those things that we know and can see that we are thankful to the Lord for, that is God's word also. And God's word is truth. In other words, the truths that you will begin to be expressing are, for one, the very fact that God has overcome his curse in you. Because there are those that shall never die, believe thou this. For one, there's victory over death. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Sanctified through the truth. But you know, you can't be sanctified through the truth if the truth is not expressed. It has to be expressed. I almost feel like really I'm an inadequate person to preach this sermon. I feel like a person like Christian Erickson that has such a command of expression should be preaching a sermon like this. But the truth is here. If we will begin to express our love, now we are. This is the thing, we are. I don't want people to go into a tailspin and think, well, you know, Don's exhorted us along these lines, and I don't feel like we are. We are, I know that. But I'm talking about something that is greater. I'm talking about moving into a position that God wants his body to move into, in which the meditation is always upon the things of the Lord, in which the things that are spoken are always edification, in which not only are they edification, but there's beginning to be a bringing together of hearts. There's beginning to be a cementing. There's beginning to be a glorification in the body. I want power in this body. In the worst way, I want to see power in this body. I want to see us glorified. All of us. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And so as Jesus was praying here, he showed and he expressed the fact that he knew the time was come. We have been hearing sermons on the last days in Sunday schools on the last day. The hour is coming. We need to wake. need to shake sleep if we are sleepy. If we're awake, we need to grab hold of our senses and begin to logically approach these things that God is warning us and telling us about. We need to pray always. We need to communicate our love. We need to communicate the thankfulness that God has done to us. And if we do these things, we see here in verse 22, the glory that God gave Christ, Christ has given unto us. We are the body and Christ is the head. So if we will be careful to express one another, not only in song and worship, but begin to express one another, begin to show hearts. You know, it makes you vulnerable when you show your heart to somebody else. But at the same time, it's such a wonder, there's a blessing that is involved when you do make yourself vulnerable to the other person by expressing your heart, and then that person opens up his heart to you. There is a seeming in there that can, there's nothing else that can match that in the whole world. As a matter of fact, that's what the marriage relationship's all about. And so I just want to exhort this body to begin to express everything that they do in a positive vein. I'll tell you, just a quick two-minute close here, but there is a thing a lot of us need to realize as far as eternal life is concerned. This is not a thing that is nebulously floating around on a cloud with our heart, going fishing with Peter at the Golden Gate and all this kind of thing, all these silly things that you see out in so many Sunday schools. There is a real life, brethren, in eternity. The songs at the beginning of the service reflected that. If you listen closely to some of the words, there is life. We have a earnest of our inheritance, it says. But it says that Christ was the image of the invisible God. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. John says, Paul says in Corinthians, he says that now we see through glass darkly, but then face to face. Then shall I know as I'm known. And in 1 John, John says, we don't know what we're going to be like, but we do know this much, that at his parousia, at his presence, we are going to be like him. We are going to be able, there is something that God is going to change us. There's a heavenly body and a terrestrial body, as the scripture says, and God is going to change us, and we are going to be able to taste of a fullness of the Spirit that we can't even relate to now. There is a real life, brethren. There is a new heaven. There is a new earth. All things in them are created new, the scripture says. There is government. Christ, it says, the government shall be upon his shoulders. There is government. There is order. There is a bride. There is the bride's company. There's servants. There's all kinds of people at the wedding. And so we need to grab a hold of that and begin to express it in even a deeper way. I know we are, but I just felt this in my heart, that there is a way, if you can grab a hold of what I'm trying to say, there is something here that we can take a hold of. We're just, it's another step to glory. We're growing from glory to glory.
I'm going to sing another song. I just got so much joy in my heart tonight. I'm in a new place in God tonight, and I'm just so thankful. And we're going to sing a song about heaven and what it's going to be like over there, and just let the reality of it and the joy of it just cover you up. Just cover you over. Just let your heart rejoice in God tonight. Hallelujah. Happy time is coming when we reach our home in heaven, and the sorrows that we bore we'll bear no more. When the angel sounds that trumpet, calling us to that bright mansion, they'll be shouting on the everlasting shore. Oh, they'll be shouting on the hills of glory, shouting on the hills, yes, shouting on the hills. When we reach that land of which we've heard the story, there'll be shouting on the hills of God. Well, in that blessed, happy morning, when all friends are reunited, and when all our loved ones we will see again, in that happy land eternal, we will share in joy supernal, and with Jesus and his angels ever reign. Oh, there'll be shouting on the hills of glory, shouting on the hills, yes, shouting on the hills. When we reach that land of which we've heard the story, There'll be shouting on the hills of God. Well, in that sweet, sweet by and by, I'm gonna live and never die. Through with trouble and care, all God's children gonna be over there. Sweet, sweet by and by, I'm gonna live and never die. One of these days I'm going there. Well, in that sweet, sweet by and by, I'm gonna live and never die. Through with trouble and care, all God's children gonna be over there. Sweet, sweet by and by, I'm gonna live and never die. One of these days I'm going there. And they'll be shouting on the hills, shouting on the hills.